How do you pronounce it? Well, if you phonetically say it, it's the Appalachian Mountains. But if you ask those in Tennessee, Mississippi, Georgia, or any other southern Appalachian state, they'd correct you real quick. They'd tell you it's Appalachia. Best way to remember it is to say apple at ya. Kinda like chuck an apple at ya, but with a southern drawl. In the last few months, the Appalachian Mountains have found their way to be a major topic across social media. Video after video, either on Instagram or TikTok, tells of the rules one must follow as they venture through the mountains range. Even podcasts and Reddit posts speak of the bone-chilling experiences many have faced within the dense forest. From above the treetops, aerial views of the mountains are picturesque. You can see the lush greens of the trees, and during the fall, as the leaves begin to change color, it's quite the sight. But as you drop down, past the treetops, down below the canopy of the forest, as your feet feel the earth, what truly resides within Appalachia? Centuries worth of folklore and superstition have spoken of the magical qualities of the forest, as well as bringing light to the creatures that live just beyond your vision amongst the shadows. These folklores have struck fear in many, so much so that the people take great caution when entering into the forest. This fear has given way to what is being called cryptic culture, the idea that there is an assortment of creatures and monsters and ghouls hiding just out of your sight wherever you go. This week, we go deep into the creatures and the folklore that tell their tales, superstitions that have been passed down, and the rules one must follow when venturing into the Appalachia Mountains. So, let's dive into that. Welcome to Audibly Haunted. I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. So, what makes them so special? For starters, the Appalachian Mountains stand as the oldest mountain range in the U.S., even being older than its sister to the west, the Rocky Mountain Range. Based on geological research, it's estimated that Appalachia started to form 1.1 billion years ago. The Appalachian Mountains run through 13 states, which are Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, Maryland, Mississippi, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia, with West Virginia being the only state that is entirely within the mountains range. That's why they call it the Mountain State. The highest peak sits within North Carolina, standing at 6,684 feet above sea level. The range gains its name from a Native American tribe that lived and traded with other tribes in the area. They were called the Apalachee, and they lived in what we now know as Tallahassee, Florida, today. They would trade with other tribes to the east of them, and those tribes would trade with the French. When the Spanish arrived, they killed and destroyed the other European French colonies. But one man, Jacques Le Monet, managed to escape. When he entered back into Europe, it was said that he recreated his maps and named the regions after the natives that traded there. Since the beginning of the Appalachians, it's been known to be a place of trades and crafts. It was needed to prosper and live in the area so far away from other city life. Many different trades started that were needed for self-sufficiency within the mountains. The people began creating handmade quilts, pottery, wood carvings, poetry, writing, and of course, music, with it being the birthplace of bluegrass country music. Along with the birth of a musical genre came the birth of spine-tingling folklore that gave life to many creatures that reside within the forest. There are some that are familiar to most, and some that I myself had never even heard of. Have you heard of the moon-eyed people? Yeah, neither had I. But as I did my research for this episode, even though not well known, they piqued my interest. This folklore was a mixture that came from the Appalachia people, as well as a creature talked about within Cherokee legend, centered around what we now call today as the town of Murphy in North Carolina. The legend and folklore state that moon-eyed people were pale-skinned, human-like creatures that hide within Appalachia. They have large blue eyes, are short and stout with bearded faces. Cherokee legend stated that these creatures were nocturnal with eyes sensitive to the sun. The tribes would wait for the full moon and drive the moon-eyed people from their earthly caves. With the full moon so bright, it would cause the moon-eyed people to flee deep into the mountains once and for all. Something seems a bit familiar, though, about the description of moon-eyed people. Think about it. Short, stout, bearded, with large blue eyes. To me, that sounds very much like the earlier Europeans that ventured to the land. But here's the kicker. These Cherokee legends predate Christopher Columbus or any other settlers that we are aware of making land onto America. So, who are the moon-eyed people? Are they a cryptic that made their way up to the surface from deep within the ground? Or are they poor European settlers that just never got any credit? In 1999, a horror movie like no other hit movie theaters. Audiences were leaving with their tails tucked between their legs at the bone-chilling first-person point-of-view camera angles, showing scenes so raw you forgot you were watching a movie. The Blair Witch Project was at the time in a class all its own. It featured three friends that hike into the Appalachian Mountains to make a documentary about a local witch. They soon find themselves lost and are picked off one by one. Movies like this are what inspired the movie Paranormal Activity, with a similar raw first-person point of view. But you see, the Blair Witch was not completely off on their story. Appalachia folklore tells the story of a supposed real witch that resides within the mountains. She is referred to as the Bell Witch. This folklore legend centers around the Bell family. Kate Batts was a real woman who was cheated out of land, supposedly, by the father of the Bell family, John Bell. Kate is said to be the Bell Witch coming back for her revenge. Hauntings began between 1817 to 1821. It all began with the Bell Witch showing herself as a dog with the head of a rabbit. Scared, Father John fires his gun at the creature, but it vanishes. Soon, their daughter Betsy sees a young girl in a green dress swinging from the limbs of an old oak tree. With a keen focus on John's daughter Betsy Bell, the Bell Witch would pull the sheets off of Betsy as she slept. Soon, Betsy even began receiving physical marks from the kicks, punches, scratches that the Bell Witch would inflict on her. John Bell grew scared of the attacks and began to tell his family and friends, taking comfort especially in his friend James Johnston. That same night, James spent the night at the Bells, and in the morning he woke to have experienced the witch himself. News of this Appalachian terror traveled so quickly and found its way to the ears of none other than General Andrew Jackson himself. According to the folklore and legend, Jackson and his party set out to battle the supposed witch. Him and his men set up tents and camped outside the home of John Bell. A man within Andrew Jackson's party stated he had knowledge on how to kill the witch and boasted to anyone who would listen that his silver bullets would keep the witch at bay. This made the spirit of the witch mark this man as her new target. As he entered the house to rid the evil witch's spirit, it is said that she attacked him so ferociously that the man left the home screaming and begged to leave. Even after John Bell's death in 1820, the hauntings continued on the Bell family. It is said that her spirit, I guess you can say, crashed his funeral. She continued to torment the daughter Betsy, even causing her first engagement to be broken off. She did later marry and left the land, but the Bell Witch is said to still dwell within the Appalachians, and you can visit her yourself if you dare. If you visit Adams, Tennessee, you can hike to the Bell Witch Cave, but don't say I didn't warn you. If you ask me, I believe we would all agree there is one creature that has become a household name. That name is Bigfoot. Tales of a great big wild man of the woods dates back to ancient times, including folklore from native indigenous cultures in medieval Europe. Prior to the 20th century, Bigfoot was more so known as Sasquatch or Yeti. The Sasquatch was to be a hairy creature known for a billowing, deep, guttural cry, stealing livestock and shaking trees. I mean, we all know the photo of the great big ape man walking amongst the tree line. The name Bigfoot didn't come around until 1958 in Humboldt, California. Jerry Crew, who was an employee of a logging company, discovered a strange set of very large footprints in the Six Rivers National Forest. Word got out, and like most rumors, it spread like wildfire. Since the mid-1800s, though, thousands of reports have come in claiming to have sighted Bigfoot within the Appalachian Mountains and all over the U.S. See, there are many other creatures that have made a home in Appalachia. The land itself carries its own spirits and ghosts. You have skinwalkers and wendigos that take form of a deer. But when you get close enough, you'll see that they are anything but your friendly neighborhood Bambi. Throughout the years, along with the growth of the folklore around the creatures who may call the mountains their home, there has come the growth of the Appalachian Mountain superstitions. Doing my research, I was able to compile a few that stood out to me. Mind you, there are many different superstitions that come from the communities within Appalachia, and if you have some free time, I recommend looking them up, but in the meantime, here are some of my favorites, and they go something like this. Do you own an apple tree? Remember to leave a single apple hanging from the tree at the end of harvest, lest you wish to attract the devil. If passing a cemetery, you might want to hold your breath to avoid inhaling the soul of someone who was recently buried, meaning they can use your body to leave the cemetery to follow you home. When someone dies with their eyes open, you'll want to shut them as soon as possible. If the eyes are left open, the story goes, the deceased will see someone to take with them. If a clock, long motionless, suddenly begins to tick or strike, it is a sign of approaching death. And the last one is, a woman has more ribs than a man. This one is interesting, if you think about it. Because of the Bible stating God created women by removing a rib from Adam, men now have less ribs than a woman. This most likely would have been a superstition built and spread amongst the churches within the regions. But due to modern science, we can prove that men and women all have the same number of ribs. It truly is a mysterious place. And just like I had said in my episode about Big Sur, the forests and mountains leave so much to the imagination. What really is out there? When it comes to the Appalachian Mountains, the people take caution when entering the woods and forests. A simple set of rules seems to be embedded within the people, and many have come forward to share those rules. Rule number one, if you are out in the wilderness and you see something strange, no you didn't. Ignore what you saw and keep moving. Pay it no mind. Rule number two, if you are deep in the woods and you hear a voice call out your name, no, you definitely did not. Turn around and walk the other way. Rule number three, if you feel like you're being watched or stalked, be calm. Don't run. Rule number four, never enter the woods after dark. And rule number five, never whistle in the woods. When you whistle at night, there are always spirits that can hear you, and they may just answer you back. I can go on and on about all the different haunts and passed down folklores of the Appalachian Mountains. The history of the cryptics, folklores, and superstitions are as dense as the forest trees. It's hard to say what is real and what is not. It's easy to claim the folklore was built from sightings of settlers seen by natives, but how do you explain the stories that came before Christopher Columbus arrived, or even before pilgrims hit Plymouth Rock? All I can say is if you find yourself venturing to and into the Appalachian Mountains, I suggest you heed the rules and warnings given to you by the people. Because if you don't, one wrong move and the spirits, creatures, and haunts within the Appalachia might just chuck an apple at ya, or worse. This has been Audibly Haunted, and I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. You can find Audibly Haunted wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. So give it a listen and drop a rating or a review and tell all your friends. And remember, you can always find Audibly Haunted on Instagram at Audibly Haunted. And if you have a ghost story that you would like to share, I would love to hear it. You can always reach out to me at audiblyhaunted@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear from all of you. And I'll see you all next week.